Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Jennifer Ng about a recent article discussing wearable technologies as physical activity interventions in weight control. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we're going to be discussing an article selected from the Obesity Medicine Association Obesity Algorithm. And what we do is we collect articles, very recent articles that have been incorporated in the latest version of the Obesity Algorithm, and then we get experts to comment upon them. And today, we're very fortunate to have with us Jennifer Ng. Jennifer, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Hi, everyone. So I am an assistant professor of medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, and I'm actually a New Yorker. I did all my training in New York. I'm trained in internal medicine, but I became interested in obesity medicine, and actually, interestingly enough, I recently found out that I had prediabetes, and so even though I'm not obese or overweight, a lot of the same principles that, apply to weight loss and treatment of obesity medicine is actually things that I can use for myself to help myself with, prediabetes and that kind of condition.
Well, then look, I think that's going to be very applicable. I hope it will to what we're getting ready to talk about. So the article that we have on the slate today, and the one that you chose, and now it makes more sense why you chose this, is entitled "The Effectiveness of Wearable Technologies on Physical Activity Interventions in Weight Control." And it's a systematic review and meta-analyses of randomized controlled clinical trials. This was published by Yin in Obesity Review in 2019. And what this article points out is that wearable technologies, and I have to quibble a little bit with what they say here. They say it represents a novel approach to the prevention of obesity and overweight. I think many of us have been using it for quite some time. I'm not sure we all would characterize that as novel, but maybe to some people that it is. And what they did is they did a meta-analysis of 19 randomized clinical trials where they were evaluating wearable technologies, and they tried to see how that kind of correlated with physical activity as well as other body metrics and such. And what they found was that a duration of using wearable technologies for a total of more than or equal to 12 weeks was more effective. Now, I have an opinion about why that might be, but Jennifer, I'm gonna leave it to you. What's your sense about this article and what its meaning, and particularly, if you would, focus on how does wearable technology fit into your clinical practice?
Well, I think one great thing about wearable technology is that it's able to be there with our patients when we're not there with them in the visit. And so a lot of these technologies, prompt people, let's say, to have an hourly step goal and different things like that. And so it can actually monitor our patients while they're not at the visit, because there's only so many visits that you can fit in, and these technologies are with the patients day to day. And especially during this pandemic, we don't have as much access to our usual tools. And we can't really just bring people in for a visit because everyone's stuck at home. But we started doing a lot more telemedicine. I think wearable technologies have been more helpful in that regard because they can track things like people's heart rates and blood pressures. For example, if I wanted to titrate their medicines, let's say phentermine, and I wanted to make sure that they're not having any adverse events at home, then I can ask them, can they check their blood pressure and their heart rate? And we can even do that remotely. And so that actually has been very helpful.
So you're doing a telemedicine call.
Yes.
And they're not able to be there in the office. Walk us through that. How do you do that? Do your patients already have wearable technology? Do you recommend wearable technology? What are the particular metrics you look at for wearable technology? What are the specifics when you're conducting it? Because this is very applicable nowadays, and I think it's going to be applicable for the future. What do you recommend, and what are the metrics you most focus upon?
So, in a typical visit, like on a telemedicine visit, at least most people at least have a smartphone, or a lot of people even have now a smartwatch. And I myself wear a smartwatch, and sometimes that prompts a conversation, you know, where we discuss different smartwatches and how they can be helpful in helping people track their activity. They can also track sleep. And so sometimes that's something else that we discuss during the visit, how many hours they're getting in, because people don't always recognize that that also plays a role in their weight gain. And so we talk about like sleep, their heart rates, sometimes, you know, what their physical activities are doing. Some people have smart scales that link to their smartwatches. And so it's like a lot of different data that you can get from the patient just being at home even. And so it's been actually very helpful during this whole telemedicine, visit for the pandemic. And a lot of patients now have a lot of time at their at home as well. And then they're very worried about their weight because, you know, with the pandemic, they're not able to be as physically active. They can't go to the gym. They can't do a lot of the usual activities that they would do. And then they also have more access to food at home, and boredom and stress eating and different things like that. And so I encourage them to use, you know, whatever wearable technology they have at home. And then, you know, just to try to track their physical activity, see how much they're doing, how much sleep they're getting. And I know that there's even now some wearable technologies that can provide psychotherapies, because that's another thing that impacts upon people's weight, is if they have issues with their mood and they're just, you know, so depressed all the time, they are not motivated because of that, and then they eat and then makes them gain weight. And so, you know, I think especially that, like, that's something I recently learned about, the using headsets to provide psychotherapies. I think that could be very useful.
Well, what about this? How much time do you spend on something as simple as steps, the number of steps per day?
Yeah, so I definitely encourage people to track their steps, and if they don't have a smart, you know, watch or fitness tracker, they can at least use their phone. And a lot of people don't even know that your phone can track your steps, and so that's something we talk about, because most people have smartphones. You know, some people still have flip phones, but most people now, even older adults, have smartphones. And so we talk about, oh, you know, that there are applications out there that you can download if you don't already have one, and track your physical activity. And people think that they sometimes are more physically active than they are. They're like, oh, I walk 30 minutes a day. And I was like, okay, but how many number of steps is that actually?
Go. That's right.
So
that's right.
And people will think they're very active, but then they'll see, oh, actually I am not so active. And then that helps them to then kind of have a goal to set for themselves. And they also have a direction to go in. It gives them like some guidance, whereas, you know, usually if you tell people, oh, just go out there and exercise, and they think they're exercising, but this shows them that they're actually not doing as much as they think. So,
okay, so you pointed out the positives. Have you found any negatives for having wearable technologies, or a person's conducting, a clinician's conducting a like you said, telemedicine thing? What are the kind of pitfalls, downsides to wearable technology?
So one thing is that it gathers a lot of data. Like I said, it can check so many things like your heart rate, your sleep, your blood pressure, physical activities, weight. And sometimes that's too much information. I've had patients send me messages saying, oh my God, you know, so my heart rate went up by 5 points at this time, and then it did this, and then I'm also not sleeping. It says that I am awake like a minute every 2 hours, but I don't notice that happening. And so it's a lot of data that now the patients have to sift through, and then they get very anxious, and then they reach out to you multiple times to try to make sense of it, and you have to teach them how to look through the noise and see what is actually pertinent.
Okay, so if you do that, and let's say you're getting people, they're at least getting 5,000 steps per day. I mean, I'm not sure what you tell people, but you know, something like that. And you tell them, look, and I like the way you put that. You gotta take out the clutter. You gotta take out the noise. I think all of us could do that in our lives a little better. But you know, at the end of the day, how does this help you in getting patients either to lose weight or maintain weight loss? How does that fit into the program?
So I think the most important thing is it keeps them engaged. So it's something that, you know, interacts with them outside of a regular visit. And so they now can stay more engaged. They can look at their own data and see where they need to improve. Whereas before, they would come to the visit, you give them something to do, they go out there and then they aren't able to do it, and then they get discouraged and they stop doing it or stop coming back to follow up even. And now with these wearable technologies, sometimes it breaks down things to very simple things. So let's say they give them a hourly step goal, and you know, that's something broken down to such a small amount that's something that they feel, oh, I can do this. And then also then you can say, okay, well, let's see how many hours you actually sleep. And then it gives them kind of more homework to do, and it keeps them focused on trying to lose weight. And the wearable technology being there is like, you know, if they see it on their wrist or, you know, on their phone and different things like that, then it's always there, like as a reminder, okay, I need to work on these things. I shouldn't just slack off. And we have seen in a lot of studies that when patients are motivated, that's what actually makes them lose weight. Not specific diets or physical activities. It's the fact that they're willing to commit and continue to do it.
Well, and I think that's a good way to end here, because exactly what you just said there is exactly what I would allude to when I discussed the article. It's that willingness to maintain, because what they found in this article is, and I'm quoting, a duration of using wearable technologies for a total of more than or equal to 12 weeks was more effective. In other words, if you don't use it, and if you don't routinely use it, it isn't going to help you, right?
That's true.
It's got to be done on a routine basis, and it's not a quick fix. Obesity is never going to be a quick fix. And you could say the same thing about diabetes. You could say the same thing about hypertension or dyslipidemia. And going back to what you just said earlier, you could even say the same thing about prediabetes, right? It's a lifelong commitment. And at least in this article, you got to do it longer than 12 weeks if you expect to get a return on your investment. On the wearable technology itself, as well as the activities, the time you spent on the activities. So I think that's a great way to end the program here. So thank you very much, Dr. Ng. This has been great. Hopefully people have gotten some practical information on how to help manage their patients, particularly with the telemedicines, with the use of wearable technologies. And my name is Dr. Harold Bays, and I hope you enjoyed this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Ng. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.